Playing the hits and your favorites of yesterday and today.
Well, good evening and welcome back to the NMF Podcast with myself, Dennis Devon. It's great to have you back. It's been a fantastic week and capping it all off, I'm talking to the lads from Callow Youth coming up later. In the meantime, three songs in a row back-to-back kicking off with this one from Callow Youth.
Much more sexy tracks coming up.
Coming up. uncover the truth. Don't care about what doesn't matter to you. Vindication for your regression. Perplexed is with you, tainted facts. Don't call us out, cause we've covered our tracks and it doesn't fit the manifesto. So sorry, son, you're gonna have to go. Write an anthem for the doomed Jews, cause you're not gonna love, and we don't love you. Don't trust the lies that have stuck like glue, no matter what you put us through.
Of yesterday and today.
Well, three songs in a row, back to back, kicking off with the lads from Callow Youth and Straight to the End. And then we heard from the boys from Dictator and, of course, the new one, Hide and Seek, before finishing it off another new hit from the High Cinders, and that's The Joker. Coming up after the break, yes, it's Callow Youth.
Much more sexy tracks coming up.
Oh no, little Timmy's got hold of a marker pen. My wall looks like a colouring book. What am I going to do?
Flash! Ah, cleans up the impossible. Wow, he's really made a mess. It's a pain, but we won't stress. In the hall, he's drawn overall on the wall. Lots of scrolls, but we can clean this up.
Flash Magic Eraser, we love you.
Flash! Ah, cleans up the impossible.
Where are you? Are you in bed? Or are you leaving the first human footprint on Mars? Are you jogging, or are you about to pull off the heist of the century? Are you in your car, or are you praying those red eyes in the darkness can't see you? A voice in your ear can take you anywhere.
Audible. Get your first audiobook for free and feel every word. $7.99 a month after 30-day trial starts automatically. Terms apply.
This tempo's way too slow to tell you all there is to know, so I'm going to speed it up. Here we go. When you're holidaying in Rome but you want it to look like you're at home, Hive-Active lights will come on at night to make your living room nice and bright. Or if you're left work in a hurry and you're trying to save some money, Hive-Active plugs let you turn your appliances off whilst you're having your ear chewed off by your boss. How about you're at a romantic dinner for two and you want to check your kids home by curfew? Hive sensors monitor your front door so they won't be sneaking home late anymore. Whew. Because with Hive you control your home from your phone, from your lights to your plugs to your sensors. See what else you can control. Control at hivehome.com. Hive products work with Hive Hub.
Playing the hits and your favorites of yesterday and today.
Are you ready?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, welcome to the NMF podcast with myself, Dennis Devon, and a very, very good evening to Alfie and Nathan from Calgary. Good evening, guys.
Hi, mate. You all right?
How are you, pal?
Mate, it's great to have you guys on. I think I've just told you that your intros to music are just unbelievable.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for having us as well.
No, it's great, man. Honestly, I've just been sitting there banging your tunes with, man. It's honest to God. In over your head, mate. What an outstanding intro. One of the best intros I've heard to a song ever.
Oh, thanks, cheers, mate. Man. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Nice.
Well, guys, look, it's great to have you on board. I'll get going, mate, as well, as soon as you're here. What first got you guys into music?
Personally, it was just like the idea of being in a band and seeing like loads of bands come before and just the idea of being able to go out and play music to people.
For me, I'd more say it was like just like the kind of surroundings that we had bringing up. Like, you know, being from Manchester already has like some kind of musical heritage, and it just kind of sort of injected into you from a young age, like stuff that your granddad's listening to and then your dad's listening to, or, you know, your mum or anything like that. And it's just kind of, that was kind of like my first ever experience into music, in which I then like fell in love with it, really.
Well, obviously you're from the Manchester area, the Manchester music scene. I'm guessing there'll be a lot of inspiration for you guys. So what inspired you guys to make music?
I think personally for me, it was, I mean, I know it's a very, very common answer, but it's got to be Oasis is the first thing from Manchester. Yeah. They're like the band that I grew up with personally, but... And then you delve into it and you've got people from the Stone Roses to the Spiral Cat. I mean, I think the first ever week we were in a band, we got a message on Twitter from Clint Boone.
Oh,
Spiral Carpets, and it was just...
Wow.
It's like the kick up, like, it's just really nice, you know, to feel like you're getting recognised by people that you've looked up to.
Absolutely. I mean, the Manchester music scene just is taking off again. It had a boom in the 90s, and it's just... I mean, the fresh music that's coming out of there, and you guys are firing it. You know, you're leading it as well. How does that feel to be told that you're one of the leading bands coming out of there?
Uh, it feels good, man. Because well, obviously, there's a lot of bands who are working hard, but like you know, we've worked hard to get in this position as well. So to be even like you know, smokers like even in that scene that are now breaking out of Manchester, in fact, instead of heading it, would be fine by me. But for you to say that is a very big compliment for us, mate. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Your music's brilliant. It's fantastic. How would you describe the music you typically create? If people didn't know your music, how would you describe it?
Go on, Dave. Do you want to answer it?
I think that it's because it's constantly evolving now. Like the stuff we have out on Spotify, I'd say it's like kind of just like a kind of indie rock music. But recently, we've started making more songs like Over Your Head, which you'll see on our next EP. And that's the direction that we're writing music now. We decided to like change up and kind of write more of like, I'd say like a bluesy, like 60 rock and roll kind of sound element, yeah. You know, more sounding like Over Your Head kind of thing. But you'll see on the next EP like what it sounds like. And then everything from there will probably sound similar than that. We've just kind of created our sound, but we're just now waiting for people to see it, I suppose.
Somebody said the band is maturing record by record, single by single. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. We've all gotten better at our instruments. We all understand music a lot more than we did 2 or 3 years ago. And it is going to reflect in future singles. And hopefully people do enjoy it. But we think it's a lot, like you said, a lot more mature than what we were doing before.
Because this EP that we've just brought out, it was kind of the last collection of our old music before we moved on to kind of... this new sound that we're going for, which is like I'd say closer on the lines to Over Your Head, you know, like it's got like jangly riffs, but it's a bit rock and rolly, but it's not like straight rock and roll. You know, it's got elements of a few things in there, but yeah, as things go on, like that EP was just like I suppose it was just for people who have been there watching us in gigs that have always said, "Oh, what's this song? When are you ever bringing this out?" So we was originally going to scrap like pretty much most of them, but we decided on them three that joined Over Your Head that were probably the best ones out of the bunch that we had, and now we're trying to move into a new direction, which all to be revealed, all very exciting, I suppose.
Yeah, it must be exciting times. Do you find yourself experimenting more with music?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our guitar players, we're all into such a vast like range of music. We can take inspiration from anything, even if it's like disco music to Black Sabbath, and we can take little ideas and kind of like make them into our own sound.
Yeah, that's true. I think what I'm quite enjoying doing is like recently we've been writing songs in like loads of different tunings, aren't we? So it's just like instead of like writing in standard guitar tuning, we've been like experimenting with loads of different stuff, and I feel like it's more rewarding when once you've you know, you've sat back and just tried new things. It just feels a lot better to write music like that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, what's the creative process like? What is it like getting from beginning to getting the track out? What's your process like? How do you come up with all these creative ideas, especially in intros, man? I mean, like I said at the start of the show, I've heard some intros in bands and I could name. I'm sure we could all sit and name a few amazing intros. But yours are just constant. They're just repeated. They're fantastic. And what's that creative process like? Who comes up with that?
I think, to be honest, it's not like a lot of other bands. We might have an idea for a riff, but it'll just mostly come from jamming a song, and the song maybe will go in five times, and that song will then progress into a more finished like output. And then I don't know. We'll just kind of settle the song, but we do all have input.
Yeah, it's very, very much, I'd say, a four-way thing. Like normally you get like one songwriter and he'll do it, and then you know somebody will add bass, so another guitar and drums, but it's a process where like we'll jam it out until things sound right, and then we'll have a talk, and then some other things are added, and sometimes it can take up to like, you know, even an half an hour jam, and we know exactly what we want to do. Sometimes like, you know, we started writing a song, I think, about 2 months ago, and we still haven't finished it just because we just want to get it right. And we just keep going back, adding more bits and pulling more stuff off. But, it music can take a long time, and as long as you're happy with it by the end of it, it doesn't matter how long it takes, really.
Do you ever sit back and listen to a track you've just recorded and think, fuck me, that's a banger?
I've personally done this with the next single that we're going to release called Mad Machine, it's going to be called, and when I first heard the recording of that, I enjoyed listening to it, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
It were a nice feeling.
100%.
I mean, if you guys could collaborate with anybody, who would you most like to collaborate with? Who would be a great band to collaborate with right now?
Oh, I'd like to collaborate with Rapper Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I'd like to just do the music while some guy just goes ham over the top of it. I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, right.
Something like Icon or something like that, or Iconic, or
anybody. I don't really mind, to be honest. Just somebody who'll do a good job over the top of it. I just think that, you know, mixing two genres would be quite cool.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I like, again, you guys are willing and more than happy to experiment. Again, that's your maturity coming through. You're growing as a band, and it's coming across clearly. I mean, one thing I always like to ask is, if you guys could open a show for anybody, if you were given a chance to open for any band or any artist, who would you most like to open for?
Dead or alive, or just alive?
Dead or alive, aye. Of course, aye. Bring them back.
Okay.
I think mine would be Radiohead, personally. The moment, it would be Radiohead. They're my favourite band, so...
I don't know. I'd go for either Beatles or Led Zeppelin.
But Led Zeppelin, I mean, if you open for Led Zeppelin, you know that the night before that, you'll have been sitting partying heavy with them. Likelihood is you probably won't open until 2 hours later.
Exactly.
You
know that? That's the experience, mate. It's all part of it.
They're the kind of guys that you go out partying with on a Friday and then stroll back on a Monday with a cone in your head and a pint of milk. Obviously, your fans, you've got a massive following. You're very popular. If you had a message for your fans just now, what would it be?
It'd be thank you for starts, but then just wait and just bear with us, and hopefully we'll give them back something that they can really talk about.
Yeah, like, nice one for sticking with us, I suppose, stuff. You know, we had a long time out, didn't we? So,
yeah.
Nice one.
Yeah, we did go through a phase of not releasing music, and the fact we have brought out an EP and it's got quite a nice reception, it does mean a lot.
Especially when we know that we have stuff to come as well, like that we believe is just going to top stuff like that. So it's nice to see that people are liking that too.
Yeah, and if I was going to say that, you guys disappeared for a bit and now you are back. I'm guessing the time away has helped you sort of reflect, and some bands need that time.
Yeah, and it's helped us get our own stuff together behind the scenes, and we feel now that we're kind of ready for like the second phase, because we did go through a lot of time gigging three times a week, and we've stopped that. I mean, obviously with COVID and stuff, but and then hopefully we can just come back and carry on the same thing, but with better material.
It's sounding like this year's going to be a massive year for you guys. I mean, I always ask this, you know, I've spoken to some amazing acts, and there's always a joker in the pack. You know, who's the joker in your pack? And do any of you have any useless talents? Like, I had a guy who could do various impersonations of Family Guy, which I thought was quite funny.
I don't know about myself, to be honest. Do you, Nate?
I'd say I wind everybody up.
Yeah.
Do you?
Nathan's the king of winding people up, to be honest.
I love winding people up. It's one of my favourite things to do. But, you know, they've known me long enough now that it just, like, you know, it comes straight back. So I won't really like go out now. Like, it is all of us. But I don't really have any talents. No, I'm just trying to think of what I can do.
Nathan, what kind of thing have you done to the guys? What are you the kind of guy that if you fall asleep after a few beers, you're like belling, put a ball and cock on somebody's head? Are you that guy?
I kind of would be that guy, but it's more like just like, it's more like just like kind of, you know, just picking up on things they've said and just saying it back to them and stuff, and you know, just immature little things. You know, like,
what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you while you've been performing?
Oh, I think, was it when Suey's chair collapsed? that was brilliant. I love that.
I think one of the craziest things for me, we did a gig in a Clivero in Blackburn. We had a stripper on as like the the venue put on
we had to follow a stripper, man.
Yeah, the like burlesque, that's the word.
Yeah.
Well, I hope the stripper's listening. I hope she's listening. We might get to meet her one time. Get her on the show.
If you're out there, it was very
you wouldn't have said that if you've seen her, mate.
Obviously, guys, looking back at your younger selves, if you go back to your younger you, what would you say to yourself?
I'd say just do your own thing. For a long time, I think we're making music that tries to make other people
laugh. Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I agree.
And that will bring out something I'd rather have less people like it, but more people appreciate the writing in the music.
Yeah.
I think if it's going to happen anyway.
Sell out and just making Nando's music.
Yeah. It's not for me. It's not for us anymore, I suppose.
Is your family and friends all supportive, and have they been your shoulders to go to when things are shit?
Oh, yeah. Very, very.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan's dad has drove us up the country at 3 a.m. to go to gigs and get home and stuff like that. And everybody always buys tickets and comes down and watches us, so it's nice.
Yeah, if it weren't for any of our parents, like we had a change in management over a while, and it was at that point we were thinking, like, you know, where do we kind of go from here? And our parents kind of rallied together, you know, said you can't just stop all this now, and you know, you've got to carry on. I think if it weren't for all of our parents and the work they put in, then there'd be a
calibre. No chance, would we?
Yeah, it wouldn't be as effective as it probably is right now.
Wow, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
One thing pops into my head, but I can't really repeat it.
You can get away with anything on here.
still no. I don't know. It's just simple things, like, you know, just like kind of cliche, but just believe in yourselves, man. If you want to make music you want to make, then just make it and stuff, you know.
Yeah, for a long time we were too worried about what other people would think of what we were doing and stuff like that. But when you get a bit older, you kind of see the true colours of people and just believe in what you want to do yourself and not really care what everybody else thinks of you.
Yeah, I like that. That's a brilliant way to put it. Guys, if you could change anything about the music industry just now, what would you change and why?
Spotify and digital platforms.
Yeah, I hear a lot of that.
Yeah.
Get it off. Just all of it. It's way too easy to access and way too little payment coming out of it.
People getting paid a penny a play and all that. I mean, that's just ripping the piss a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. And then the owner wants to go and buy Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah, but can only pay us 0.001 pence per stream.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, then go buy a football club. I hear that. Guys, do you remember your first ever live gig and what was it like? And did you shit it?
Yeah. Wait, Nate, we're at the Witchwood.
Yeah, I have an embarrassing story about the start.
City had just won the news. And we had a gig at the Witchwood, and I think we were shocking, to be honest.
Yeah, we were bad. But I think it was like we did a few gigs, not as Callow Youth, but we at that point we didn't even have tuners on the floor, so that must have been horrific. Yeah. And then this is where we come from, man, because none of us even like really played our instruments. Like we played them, but none of us actually played our instruments. Like Connor bought a drum kit just for the band; he'd never touched one before. You know what I mean? At the start of that Witchwood gig, like City had just won the league, we're all quite merry. Like we come back from the match, and you know, we come to a, like, you know, sound check and stuff, and then I got on stage and we was like the second of four bands on, I think, and I was like, oh, my amp's not working, and then just in like a fit of like being scared, like I think I was like 18, I was like, Dad, my amp's not working, Dad. He's like the overseer of like the stage, I suppose. Like he just knows what's going wrong at any point. I was like, it's not working, and he just walks on, and like everybody started playing. We're halfway into after his first song. He's like, you got your tuner still on, you fucking idiot. And you pressed it, and then he just played it off. I never stopped thinking about that. It's one of them that I just, every time I think about it, I just feel like going inside of myself.
I talked to one band, and the guitarist was jamming away, and his amp wasn't even switched on, and he just carried on, and everyone was just looking at him, and he was just like, just keep going.
There has been plenty of that, though. There has been plenty of that, where things I think Cotton Cloud in Saddleworth was like one of the biggest gigs we'd done at the time, and nothing in soundcheck would work. and we were all pacing around just thinking, not today, not today.
What sort of places have you performed in? Where was your best venue? Where would you say was the best?
It's a good question. I think, personally, we played like a little room in Rock City in Nottingham.
That was
just because it's such an iconic venue. And it weren't the big room, but it was just the fact like it were upstairs and just all the atmosphere and the
The backstage there was ridiculous. The backstage was ridiculous. You had like ping pong tables, loads of beer in the fridge. It was mint, and they had a jukebox of every person who'd ever played at Rock City, and it was just going through like people like, you know, Arctic Monkeys and stuff.
This is what it's like.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I think the best venues, like the gigs that stick in my head really is Death Institute last time, the sold out Manchester gig. That'll like live me for like forever. And we supported a band called Proud Mary in London.
Wow.
I think is it the O2 Islington?
Yeah, I know that.
We supported Proud them Mary. There. It was a packed room, man. They were sound lads, and yeah, it was mint. Love that one.
Proud Mary. What a band. Wow.
They were nice blokes as well. They looked after us.
I've heard that. They're really good to crack on me, and they're known for giving good advice and that, you know, and helping each other out, you know, and that's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
If it wasn't for music, you know, what would you be doing right now?
I'd be an accountant.
Would you?
Would you?
Yeah.
Really?
I only went to uni for music, but I was doing accounting before that, so.
Yes, the band's well sorted. Now you know when all the money goes missing, you know who's to blame. See, when it all goes up, if it all goes tits up and he's away in a yacht somewhere, you know what's happening here, don't you? What's the strangest thing a fan has ever said or requested?
I'll let you have this one, Alf, but
I'm not too sure. Some of these gigs were that long ago.
No, I have one. Right.
Go on.
Sorry if you listen, pal. I know it was in good art. But we're playing Star and Garter, and some kid just walked up to me. He's probably just younger than me, actually. I mean, or maybe even like the same age, maybe even older, but he just looked at this age. And he just had wrote on his phone, like, I see him like brawling to the front of like this like pit at the front. And he's pushed past about like literally about 20 people and just held up on his phone, "Play Anything" by the Arctic Monkeys. He was just there like,
oh, no way. How did you react, honestly? And you're like, fuck.
I just kind of just went like, I think I just went, no, mate. It was in the middle of a song, like, I just like say no to him. But like, you know, at that point you're just like, oh, fucking hell, must we be that shit?
Oh, no way. Oh, that'd be an absolute fuck. I'd kick him. Put him right in the fucking head. Oh, no way. Guys, have you ever performed in Scotland? And if so, where and what was it like?
We haven't performed in Scotland, actually, yet, have we, Nate?
Never, no. We're there in September.
We are September at the Hug and Pint.
Are you in Glasgow? Whereabouts in Glasgow?
The Hug and Pint.
Are you?
Yeah.
Have you been there before?
What, sorry?
Do you know it?
No, I've not been before.
Oof. I'll tell you what, that's a venue. You'll love it there.
Is it good, yeah?
Oh, it's bouncing, mate. Absolutely bouncing. I'll tell you something. There's been some unbelievable acts there, you know, and I'll tell you something. Talk about a venue where you'll get feedback straight away.
Nice.
Honestly, it's the kind of place where they know the music, they like the music, and they respect it, and they'll give you feedback. And honestly, they're drinking mostly. They're heavily drunk anyway, most of them. So don't worry about that. They'll all be screaming and happy and merry. And they'll all be bouncing. So you'll have a great night. Honestly, that'll be a fantastic game. And when's that, guys?
24th September is.
Wow.
24th.
And is that ticketed or?
Yeah, man. Ticketed, they're available on any Cowl Youth social media account. We have a Linktree link, and you can just go on and just buy tickets to any of the tour dates from there. So,
right, I'll be sharing that. I'll make sure that gets shared out, and I'll make sure that that's on my email list and passed out to everyone I know as well.
Love it,
because that'll be you're welcome, guys. That'll be a brilliant show. Guys, how do you feel? How do you feel social media has impacted on your music industry just now?
I think it's been good during the pandemic. I mean, there's been a lot of bands that have come through without even playing really any gigs. I mean, just through the fact of people sharing it, and I mean, that's great. It's good for the community of music, and it's nice to know that a lot of people are still interested in like upcoming bands and will give them a chance.
Yeah, there's pros and cons to social media, I think, a lot. Like, you know, it's brilliant for sharing stuff and that, but like sometimes people get looked on for, like, you know, say, like, you know, anything they do, if they, you know, it only takes one person to retweet it and they've suddenly jumped through every band that's worked hard ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I agree, mate.
It's like, you know, like you can not do like anything, any gigs or anything. These people have been working so hard. I mean, it was kind of like us at the start. We were getting a lot of like social media attention, and there were bands there like, why have these four wankers just come on the scene and got a few people saying that the music's good, and we've been doing this for like 5 years and we haven't got anything? But you know, there's pros and cons to it. Definitely, you get some scary people on social media, I think.
Yeah, I think that's some ideas to take it too far. I always think it's like the side of a parcel, handle with care.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be careful what you do on there, I think.
You said the way you said that about, you know, other bands saying some wankers, how did they get there before us? That was respectful as well, because you actually didn't say they were wankers, they called you wankers. That shows you you've got a lot of respect for a lot of musicians out there.
Oh, yeah. We'd never have a bad name for anybody who's trying to do it. Everybody's trying to do the same thing, you know. I mean, people have bad names for us, obviously. We've had it in the past, but you know, it just comes parts like, it's as much as everybody trying to do the same thing, it's a rivalry as well, because everybody's trying to do the same thing. So, you know, tensions flare, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys could open up in any festival, what would be the ideal festival for you guys? Anytime, historically or past or present, you know, if there was any festival you wish you could have performed at, you think, fuck man, that'd have been mental, I'd do that. What would it be?
I would have liked to play the Woodstock with Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Oh, session!
Shout.
That's a session, isn't it? What a shout out, mate. I've been waiting for somebody to say that. What a shout out, mate.
Shout.
Yeah, that'd be it for me. Or any Glastonbury at all.
Yeah, any Glastonbury.
Any Glastonbury.
That's got yeah.
Even like, I don't know if it was a day festival or a festival, but any one of the Live Aids.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine half the world, well, 3/4 of the world just watching you.
Exactly. It's some jump out, isn't it?
You'd shit it, wouldn't you? You'd absolutely shit it, wouldn't you? you'd make sure you didn't eat anything before you went on stage anyway, that's for sure. Guys, I always say this, I always ask this, you know, vinyl, digital or CD?
Vinyl for me.
Yeah, vinyl for me as well. But it's just the cost. It's just, I don't know, it's not very cost effective. But I mean, if you want the quality of music to be good, it is vinyl.
It's a lot to make and then even more to sell, because you've spent so much to make it.
You find that it's mad, because it was massive, then it died away, and suddenly vinyl's making a massive comeback again, with a lot of bands preferring to, a lot of them are using, what I can see, vinyl just as promotional merchandise. Have you guys got a lot of merch?
Yeah, to be fair,
we've not really released a lot recently, but the plans for the future, we have got a vinyl that we want to release. We've got a load of new t-shirt designs that we're trying to push through and get sorted, so we'll have a lot more in the future.
I think you'll see... Sorry, man. Go on.
Will that all be available on your LinkedIn site?
Yeah, it should be, yeah. But just not right now. Not at this moment, but hopefully very soon.
I think you were saying... Sorry, just want to go back on one thing. You were saying about, you know, vinyls, like, they went died down for ages and then come back.
But yeah.
I feel like that's kind of... That's always been happening, like, you know, with even stuff like, you know, like fashion. You see people, like, especially around Manchester, walking around, like, you know, it's literally straight from the 90s and stuff, and stuff's coming back. But I feel like, you know, people have been getting into a lot of vintage things. So I think vinyl just came hand in hand with the fashion that people were bringing back, which I kind of like, to be honest. I think that's
Do you think music's done the same as well? Do you think the music's sort of, this especially in the Manchester music scene, since they've gone back to that Britpop indie kind of beat. You know, they have the Merseybeat, which I'm not a big fan. I like Merseybeat, but I'm not a big fan of it. I've always found the Manchester sound just that little bit more raw. And I think the Manchester music scene is better at explaining youth, if that makes any sense. The music explains the common man better, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Everything you said, man. Perfect.
Yeah, because I always think the Mersey music is kind of, I always think of posh boys with a, you know, their posh roots and all that. And it just, you know, and I'm not making any suggestions that Mersey beat music isn't brown. I just don't get that feeling. When I listen to music from Glasgow or something, or I listen to music from Manchester, I get a working man's beat. I get a feeling that I'm connected to it, you know, and the music connects to me. It gives me a great vibe. I mean, you guys, I mean, just listen to your music, you know, it takes me back to my youth, if I'm honest. I mean, I'm 48 and it takes me back to the 90s, man, when I'm banging about High Cindy and all that, you know. It's just mental.
Nice one, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you are making it at the end of the day to connect with people, and I think doing it through the rawness and stuff, you do get a reflection of where the band live and what they've experienced and stuff like that, and it does relate to a lot of people.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. What's your favourite song to perform?
Man in Need.
Yeah, we've got a song called Man in Need, and that's like really like rocky in my opinion, and it just like, when you hear it, mate, you'll know what we mean. It just like kind of blows up at the right point, but it's also quite dynamic and quite like intricate what we're doing.
It's very well written. I love that song.
Oh, let's stand at that. Is there any famous musicians you admire and you think, I mean, you can, you know, you might want to bang them, but you know, is there any musicians that you think, yeah man, I really admire you, mate. You're the guys, you're the dudes. And not Oasis, because everyone, the thing with Oasis is that's a changing point in your life. That's a direction in your life. That's a direction in music. Is there anyone out there you just admire and think, yeah, I like them?
Speaking of top bands, I mean, there's a lot of like even smaller bands that I kind of admire.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, is there anyone out there just now who's caught your eye and you've thought, you know, these guys are really good? Shit, these are competition, but they're really good.
I think that kind of happened. The first one in ages for me, not saying the competition there's nobody good, but the first ones I thought like should have been doing a lot better than they are is a band called Chapaco Wrestling, when Tom introduced me to them, well, Tom and Alfie. And I thought they were like they were like insane. But these people, like, you know, there's a lot of people on the Glasgow scene as well, like you were saying, that I really like, you know, people like Rascalton and stuff like that. I love Rascalton. I love Voodoos. I love Rolling Mo.
Have you heard Arcade Street from Glasgow?
I haven't, no. I'll check them out, man.
Oh, check them out, mate. I mean, I've got a big thing for him. And there's a guy breaking out with Fife in Scotland called PG Chiletta, which I quite like him, but I mean, he sings more about Scottish culture, getting pissed and having a really good night. He writes, it's a song of his called The Sesh. Highly recommend it, guys. It's a great laugh, and it sums Scotland up in a weekend, to be honest. It really does it. In fact, it probably sums the UK up. So, speaking of the UK, have you any plans to tour?
Yeah, we've got that tour in September, which is Manchester, Manchester, London and Glasgow. And then I think we've also got a few like one-off gigs kind of, but I don't know if it's announced yet, but we're playing Nottingham 31st of July. We've got a few supports that we're kind of eyeing up.
Oh, we've still got, it's been pushed back so many times. We're supporting Slow Readers at Blackburn King George's Hall as well on the
26th. That'll be a big one, that.
That's a huge venue, man. That's like 3K, pushing up.
Yeah, that'll be the biggest venue we've ever played. So
I'll tell you what, guys, that'll be mental. That'll be a session. That'll be a great night. I might check that out, actually. Yeah. I mean, I might come and see you guys live. And if I do come and see you guys live, what I was going to ask is, would you allow me to record you before and after the show?
Of course.
Excellent, man. Guys, I mean, I don't need to do this either, but if you are looking for some support act, there is a fantastic band from Carlisle, and I don't know if you've heard them, called Indie Street Club.
Indie Street. Now we'll check them out.
Yeah, Industry Club they're a really fantastic band, and I don't like, you know, the guy himself, Ryan, he's an unbelievable singer, honestly, guys. I mean, do you know, it reminds me of Richard Ashcroft. It's like The Verve meets, I don't know, Inspiral Carpets maybe, or I don't know, it's just, check them out. Check out Industry Club if you get a chance, guys. So looking at the future, what can we expect from you in the next couple of years? What's in the pipeline for you guys?
Hopefully.
A lot more writing. Hopefully an album and a bigger tour than what we're doing. We just need to keep progressing in kind of the right direction and getting more people on board with us, which is the difficult part, really.
Yeah.
I think this is a key bit in where we are now, because we've built up on our social medias that we are changing our sound. So this is going to be like where we'll either get a load more fans and a few more drop off, or like, you know, it's going to change massively, because it's going to be a lot heavier than kind of, you know, the older stuff that we've done. Like if you listen to songs like Wake Up and stuff, I mean, it probably fit in with songs like Red Leather and Over Your Head, but like that's probably the last ones from them. So once we're changing, you know, we're just going to write as many songs as we can in that direction, because we're loving doing them right now and they're coming easily.
And who's doing your artwork and photography and stuff? Because that's amazing.
Photography is a guy called Brandon Taylor. He's very, very good. I think he's called Brandon Taylor Photog on Instagram, I think, off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, some of the shots of you guys is just mental. I mean, really, really good quality, you know, and that's, I mean, promotion wise, that's what you need, a good photographer, and it's been fantastic. And some of your album covers are just, well, obviously just immense. And who's coming up with these ideas?
It depends which one, I think, doesn't it? We've had a few different.
For the EP?
Yeah, your EP, aye.
Yeah, the EP is from a load of old photos that are of like my dad and stuff like that from the 70s, and we just thought.
Really?
That's my dad's like the little kid on the car bonnet, and then his uncle was like the bloke stood next to him.
Wow, that's amazing. That is an amazing backstory.
Yeah, it kind of keeps it like proper in house then as well, doesn't it? So,
wow,
obviously it means something. So,
I'm buzzing with that. That's a cracking little story. You see these little things people don't know. That's amazing to know that. You know, that's mental, because that takes me back to when I was a kid bouncing about in bonnets of cars and that. You know,
in a
completely different part of Glasgow, that car shouldn't be there. So it was usually dumped and we were left to destroy it. It's probably done something really bad. Just leave it there. The kids will take it to bits. I mean, obviously, let's say you're talking about your music's changing, you guys are evolving, and obviously the risk of fans maybe changing and not following you. But looking at the future for Callow Youth and the new fans that are out there, do you think that the future is going to be brighter?
World domination.
We hope so. You can only hope, can't you? But I think the quality of the songs that we are producing now, I mean, we think anyway that they should kind of elevate us to the next level and kind of become a bit more known. But if it doesn't, then we'll just keep cracking on. Don't matter. We love doing it. So.
Yeah, we never did this to like thingy. We were just doing it as like, you know, like everybody says, just four lads. But, you know, we actually enjoy just going around writing music and then playing it to people, you know. We play to like literally empty rooms. Like there's been one person stood there, and it's the barman waiting.
Some empty rooms across the years.
But then we've played to loads of people, and all you remember is those times that you've. As much as you remember the times you played to no people, it pays off when you play to a few people and people say they like your music.
Yeah, I can imagine. I wrote a song called "Empty Rooms" about a band performing around the UK to empty rooms, basically, and then one day they performed at a concert and YouTube were next door and boom, they became big hits. And that's what the song's about, called Empty Rooms. I wrote that. Don't sing it. So, guy, one of the things we do talk about is guitarists, you know, and one of the most common questions I'm asked is, how do you deal with your fingers? Because they must hurt. You guys must get sore fingers.
Oh, what, like when you're playing and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any tips? Any tips on how to protect them? Tips?
It's just playing. Mine used to hurt, and then you get like harder skin on your fingers, and then all of a sudden it's numb. But it takes months. That's the only way.
You've got to fully bleed out before you reap any benefits. You've got to get to a point where you literally can't even like play it anymore, because it's ripped that much. It's literally like playing on open skin. But then once the skin starts coming back, it starts just growing back as hard as skin, and then after a while you just don't feel it.
Yeah, I used to dip mine in vinegar. I was an old Irish guy. I was this old guy was teaching me how to play guitar, this old folk guy. And he said, just dip your fingertips in vinegar and once you're finished, you know what I mean? If you had any advice for some inspiring musicians, what would it be?
Don't listen to anybody else, just listen to yourself.
Wow.
Kind of do what you want to do and don't listen to what any other fucker tries telling you what's right or wrong. It's not all
doom and gloom, man. Just have fun.
Yeah, have fun.
Yeah, music, let music be the food of love and all that, mate, because that's what it is. You know, you guys are doing what you enjoy doing. And sometimes I think I hear a lot of horror stories about managers pushing bands or destroying bands. And I hear about bands leaving the managers and deciding, you know, fuck, I don't need you guys. We've got our direction and you guys have touched upon it. And sometimes you just need to find yourself and discovering yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do. But I feel like we haven't took advantage as much as we should have over the pandemic. And I don't think that has kind of helped us really. But I think now that we can like see the light a bit at the end of the tunnel, we kind of feel a lot more focused and ready to kind of go back out there and do it again.
I think sorry, mate.
Is it exciting?
Yeah, it is. I think as the band goes right now, I think this is the most content I think we've all ever been in what we're writing and what we're doing and what direction we're going in.
Especially behind the scenes, we feel a lot less like we don't feel as pressurized and stressed out as we used to do. So I think that has helped us a lot, like bond and become better mates again. Really,
we were rushing songs and then putting them out there, and then after a while, we'd just be like, I actually hate everything we've just done, you know, like
now I listen
to the new songs and it don't matter how many times I listen to them, I still love them as much as I do when I've listened to them the first time. And I think you've got to find a love in your own music to be able to perform it maximum.
Hallelujah to that, mate. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Loving your own, love yourself and love your own music, mate. Fuck everyone else, you know what I mean? Exactly. The rest, you know, it's great to hear that. You know, that's for such young guys, you're very level-headed. You're also very humble. You know, you're not big-headed. You're not egotistic. You're especially considered the way sometimes the Manchester music scene can be portrayed as a little bit, you know, hooliganistic, you could say, and with a bit of an attitude. You guys don't have that. You seem very level-headed. You've got direction.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, mate. You've got to kind of write your own path, haven't you, instead of being a sheep and following people. You've got to just be yourself, and that's what people will end up liking.
Is there any female out there, any female famous act you think, yeah, do you know what, seeing I'm famous, I'm banging her? There's got to be one in there, you know. I hear them all. There must be one youth looking thing. See if we make it, I'm chapping her door. I'm chapping her. I'll be taking her for a night out.
I've got to say, I like my missus will slap me, but I like that. What's she called? Ellie out of Wolf Alice.
Yes, I was about to say the same.
Yeah,
I was literally saying, oh my god, I knew it was coming. I was like, oh, I'm gonna say that.
There's competition there straight away. Which one is in Glasgow? We were saying, you know, if you're a good looking lad and you're kind of popular, they call you Shagger. You know, hey, Shagger, how's it going? Which one are you? Which one of the bands would you call Shagger? Who's the one? It's got to be on Instagram. We's tap off next to the pool. We's with the headline lads.
Nathan reckons it'll be him.
I'd say Tom, but he don't.
Yeah, Tom thinks he's a good-looking lad, doesn't he?
Yeah, he wants to think it. Loves a selfie, Tom. Loves a selfie.
Loves a selfie.
Is it? Is Tom the one that will be on Instagram all the time if he's on holiday next to the pool and that, with his top off, getting the hair all done with a pipe, with a bottle of Budweiser or something like giving it? Lads.
Yeah. Beaches that way, kind of vibe.
Got yourself, Shagger. I always ask this of all the guests, if you're in Vegas, you've had a fucking absolute mental show. Right, you're just coming back down to meet the guys down at the bar and you get stuck in the lift. Who would you least like to get stuck in the lift with? Who would be the one you think you're joking?
Probably be Nathan, to be honest. I don't know if I could be stuck in a room with Nathan on my own for longer than 5 minutes. I'm joking, Nathan. That's not a nice thing to say, that, is it?
That's brutal, that, mate.
I know, but he's saying that, but he spends literally about 24 hours of the week with me. Like in one confined space. So I can't be that bad, can I?
That round that, that. Sorry, mate.
No, I think
Is he always texting you, mate? Is he the one, you know, when your phone rings, you know who it is before you pick it up? You know the question, or you know what he's gonna be, you know what he's gonna be saying.
Yeah, kind of.
but he's also the one you go to when you need that, you know, you need your bro hug. You know, you don't really hug, but you know, like you just, you know, you're like, right, mate, I know you've got my back.
I'm the dad.
Definitely.
And finally, guys, obviously repeating that, but opposite, who would you like to be stuck in the elevator with? Who could give you some inspiration? I wouldn't mind, if I'm honest, I wouldn't mind being stuck in an elevator with someone like, you know, John F. Kennedy or someone, just to pick his brains and that.
Ah, do you reckon?
I could have a right chat with him, you know what I mean? Because he's Irish, you know, I could have a little chin wagging him.
Yeah.
And obviously, he took a vast load of pills to fight pain and stuff. And I'd want to know what sort of pills he was on, you know what I mean? Because he looked all right to me.
I think for me, it'd have to be like a musician. I'd love to get 5 minutes with Paul McCartney where it was just me and him just looking at him and just like, literally, I feel like I wouldn't even be able to get anything out though, because I'd just be looking at him like I'm just sat and just stood next to him.
You'd probably get arrested afterwards, wouldn't you? When the elevator opened, Paul McCartney would probably have you arrested.
Yeah. Probably, but I just think he's lived some life, hasn't he? Like he hasn't stopped for like 60 years.
And all you hear is nobody's got a bad word to say about him.
Exactly.
You know, the guy's never forgot his roots. You know, he's never forgot the importance of music. You know what I mean?
I know.
Well, look, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you guys, and I'm really looking forward to listening to more of your music. In the meantime, before you go, would you like to introduce your latest track?
Yeah. This is Callow Youth and it's Straight to the End. Is that all right?
Brilliant. Guys, I'm Dennis Devon. This is the NMF Podcast. This has been Callow Youth and this is their latest track, Straight to the End.
Playing the hits and your favourites of yesterday and today.
Even though
Much more sexy tracks coming up. More sexy tracks coming up.
Just wanna fly lately.
Playing the hits and your favorites of yesterday and today.
Much more sexy tracks coming up.
Well, you never grow tired of hearing that. That's Oasis and Live Forever, finishing off three songs in a row back-to-back on NMF Podcast with me, Dennis Devlin. Prior to that, we had the Haciendas and It's Not Too Late. And of course, the brand new one from the guys, Callow Youth, and Straight to the End. Thanks, Nathan. Thanks, Alfie. It was great chatting to you. I've been Dennis Devlin. This has been the NMF Podcast, and we'll see you again soon.
The best songs on the radio. This is my only favorite station. The hits just keep on coming.